Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Paper Girl, a memoir of home and family in a fractured America by Beth Macy, blends personal history with social observation, tracing a life shaped by working class roots, local journalism, and the changing fortunes of American communities. Known for reporting that connects individual stories to larger systems, Macy turns inward to examine the forces that formed her family and the region that raised her. The memoir explores how home can be both a refuge and a complicated inheritance, especially as economic pressures, addiction, and political polarization reshape everyday life. Through the lens of family relationships and the author's evolution from a young newspaper carrier and community observer to an experienced storyteller, the book considers what it means to belong to a place that is itself transforming. It also asks how truth-telling works inside families and towns where pride, silence, and survival often coexist. The result is a grounded account of identity, class, and care in contemporary America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, growing up in a working-class landscape, a central thread of the memoir is the formation of identity within a working-class environment where money is tight, expectations are practical, and resilience is learned early. Macy frames childhood and adolescence as a training ground in noticing, adapting, and reading the emotional weather of a household. The idea of home is not simply a physical place, but a web of routines and constraints that shape what seems possible. This topic explores how class can be felt in small decisions, in what families discuss or avoid, and in the quiet calculation behind everyday choices. The memoir emphasizes how community norms create both belonging and limitation, offering solidarity while also discouraging vulnerability or ambition that looks like leaving. By focusing on family dynamics, it shows how love and friction can coexist and how the skills learned in a modest household can later become strengths in a professional life. The broader America in the subtitle comes into view here through the texture of local life, a region's pride, the shifting availability of stable jobs, and the generational hope that hard work will be enough. The personal story becomes a way to understand how national fractures begin in intimate spaces. Secondly, local journalism as a way of seeing. The memoir highlights the influence of local news work as both a career path and a moral education. Carrying papers and later reporting on neighbors trains the author to pay attention to details others overlook, to listen without rushing to judgment, and to connect single events to broader patterns. This topic examines journalism not as distant commentary, but as community service shaped by proximity and accountability. In smaller towns, the reporter is not anonymous, and that closeness raises stakes around fairness, empathy, and the consequences of telling difficult truths. The book also positions local journalism as a bridge between private struggle and public understanding, showing how stories of family hardship, school challenges, health crises, or economic instability can illuminate systemic forces. In a fractured America, the ability to narrate reality clearly becomes a form of civic glue. The memoir's approach suggests that the skills of reporting, verifying, and contextualizing are transferable to personal life as well, helping the author examine her own family with clarity while still honoring their dignity. It also underscores what is lost when local reporting weakens: fewer shared facts, less nuance, and fewer opportunities for communities to recognize themselves honestly. Thirdly, family bonds, secrets, and the cost of silence. Another important topic is the complicated emotional economy inside families, where loyalty can mean protecting one another and also withholding what is painful. The memoir explores how families manage hardship through habits of silence, humor, endurance, or denial, and how those strategies can both preserve stability and delay healing. This theme looks at the tension between honoring relatives and acknowledging the full truth of shared experiences. Writing a memoir is itself a confrontation with that tension, because turning life into narrative requires selecting, interpreting, and naming. The book considers the ways children absorb unspoken rules, such as who is allowed to be vulnerable, how conflict is handled, and what counts as success. It also examines how adult understanding can reframe earlier memories, revealing new layers of compassion and complexity. By focusing on intergenerational relationships, the memoir shows how patterns can repeat without intention, and how care sometimes takes the form of sacrifice that is never explicitly discussed. In the context of a fractured America, these family patterns echo larger cultural habits, avoiding hard conversations, dividing into camps, and struggling to hold empathy alongside accountability. The personal story becomes a lens for examining why communication fails and what it might take to rebuild trust. Fourthly, community change, economic stress, and social fracture. The subtitle points to a larger national story, and the memoir uses the author's home region to explore how economic change reshapes relationships and expectations. This topic centers on the lived effects of deindustrialization, uneven opportunity, and the erosion of stable pathways into the middle class. The book suggests that when communities lose jobs, services, or a sense of future, the damage is not only financial, but psychological. Stress shows up in health, family conflict, and the kinds of choices people feel forced to make. The memoir also observes how social fracture emerges when institutions weaken and when people feel unseen by decision makers. It captures the atmosphere in which resentment can grow, where pride and self-reliance can collide with the need for support, and where political polarization may reflect deeper anxieties about dignity and belonging. Rather than treating these forces abstractly, the narrative roots them in everyday scenes and relationships, emphasizing that macroeconomic trends appear as personal turning points. This topic helps readers connect headlines to households, showing how a place's identity can be strained by decline and yet still sustained by mutual aid, local traditions, and enduring affection for home. Lastly, Reckoning, Repair, and Redefining Home, the memoir ultimately returns to the question of what it means to claim a home while also seeing it clearly. This topic focuses on reckoning, the act of revisiting family history and community narratives to understand what was inherited, what was endured, and what can be changed. The book presents repair, not as a simple redemption arc, but as a series of choices, including learning to speak honestly, setting boundaries, and finding language for grief and gratitude that can coexist. Redefining home may involve leaving and returning, or staying and reimagining, but in each case, it asks for a more deliberate relationship to place. The author's perspective as a storyteller helps frame this process as meaning-making rather than scorekeeping. The memoir also suggests that personal healing and civic healing are connected. When people can tell fuller stories about their lives, they are less likely to reduce others to stereotypes. In a fractured America, this kind of narrative work becomes practical, offering a way to rebuild empathy without ignoring harm. Readers are invited to consider their own definitions of loyalty, success, and belonging, and to see how small acts of attention and truth-telling can create room for change. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy memoirs grounded in real places, family complexity, and the social forces shaping modern American life. It will resonate with anyone from a working-class background, anyone who has felt torn between pride in where they came from and frustration at what that place could not provide, and anyone interested in how community change affects private relationships. The benefit to the reader is twofold. It offers a mirror for examining personal history with more honesty and compassion, and it provides a clearer vocabulary for understanding why so many communities feel strained, divided, or stuck. By linking the intimate scale of family life to the public scale of economics, culture, and civic trust, the memoir helps readers connect their own experiences to larger patterns without reducing them to politics alone. Compared with similar books that lean heavily either toward personal confession or broad social critique, this one stands out for its bridge-building approach, using the author's reporting instincts to keep the narrative specific, humane, and context-rich. It is worth buying for readers who want a story that feels lived in, while also illuminating the fractures many Americans recognize in their own homes and towns. If you would like to support Beth Macy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.